Well, I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
All right.
Greetings.
Steve Newell, hello.
Hello. I'm just going to move this mic out of our eye line.
It's awkwardly in our eye line.
Hey, radio's a visual medium, guys.
That's right. Who knows, maybe we'll have a camera in the studio one day.
I think it's the best thing that BFM could do is for everyone to be able to see what we get up to while we're both on and off the mic.
Yep. I think people would. It's what the people want to see.
I mean, who doesn't want to watch 24/7 people working?
Yeah.
Security. But bored, watch people work.
Yeah, well, you know, security guards, I guess they watch CCTV maybe all day. That's what they do.
Oh, God bless the humble security guard.
Yeah, shout out to you guys out there.
Shout out good security guards.
Yeah, shout out good security guards.
I'm going to rescind the shout out to poor and overzealous security guards.
Yeah, they can move on. Move on.
Move on.
So what have you got for us this week, Steve?
Like many people, I spent the weekend... and probably quite a long time into the future, mourning the loss of David Lynch last week.
Yes.
Not a ton to add to the discourse. I think my social media has been full of beautiful remembrances. Mm. Of course, there's a wealth of great film that Lynch left behind.
Yes. What's your favourite?
My favourite? To me, it's possibly... I think it's when I most got on board.
Mm.
Like the thing that kind of came out of the blue and hit me hardest seeing it the first time is probably Lost Highway. Which sort of built upon, I guess, the growing his growing interest in sort of dream logic in film.
Right.
I think it sort of films a bit of a trilogy with Fire Walk With Me and Mulholland Drive, and kind of it's some of its stylistic approaches, or it's leaving dots unconnected. Maybe not even giving you all the dots.
Wow. I have to watch that one.
But it's a really great filmography. Well, you'll get the chance to see his compendium of fantastic work at the Hollywood Avondale, who just announced that they'll be screening a career retrospective.
Cool.
If you haven't seen any of these films, it's a great opportunity to do so.
On the big screen,
Go and get weirded out with other people, and embrace the huge dynamic that he brought to film. It's such a monumental loss. There's sort of before Twin Peaks and after Twin Peaks in terms of what television could do.
Yeah,
but and giving us permission to just consider the questions that film pose, not. Logical, not questions of logic, but just questions of like what's going on, and not necessarily needing to have the answers.
Yeah,
it was a great permission to be given, and I think also the permission to embrace both sort of auteurist high art and also pretty like low art as well, like American everyday culture mixing in with this quite arty European sensibility. His work spans a huge range. And I think it connects different elements of our culture in a way that no one did before, and the only people that are doing it after him are copying in his wake. So, huge loss. One of the things that I enjoyed most over the weekend was not revisiting Lynch's filmography, but courtesy of a weekend-long stream on the website Cathode Cinema, which I highly recommend you keep an eye on what they're streaming. They went all Lynch for 33 hours, and between the feature films, just lots of interstitial content. He was a great interviewee, made really interesting short films, commercials, music videos, some that you'd never necessarily think were David Lynch because they're not, don't fit the bill of, you know, this super weird guy. Seeking out some of the dusty corners, I guess, of his work is pretty satisfying.
Yeah.
Especially if you feel you are quite familiar with the films that he made.
Mm. That's really cool that he sort of branched out into music videos and did lots of short films.
He's a really restless creator, apparently his first move into moving pictures was because as a painter, he wanted movement in his painting. So there's a sort of multidisciplinary aspect to him.
Yeah.
Don't know if I love his music, but but always restless.
Maybe we have to play some later.
Maybe. Maybe after five, I might have left by then.
Yeah.
But yeah, just restless creativity and so much to, I think, continue to discover in his work. An unparalleled loss. But yes, Hollywood Avondale kicking off with Eraserhead on the 30th of January. Screening his filmography in order.
Cool.
Right through the month of February. So
great. It's going to be a great month of cinema.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. And, you know, tonally it might... actually, I was going to say it might offer a bit of a palate cleanse or a different take to Baby Girl, but I'm not... As I think about it, maybe it doesn't, because, look, Lynch also... You know, loved the kind of grodiness of sexuality and the kind of confusion, the confusing psychology of it, and its kind of dirtiness in every sense of the word. Mm. It sort of ripples through his films. I got to say that Baby Girl, starring Nicole Kidman and Harris Dickinson, is very much on the same page.
Right.
this is the third film by Dutch actor turned filmmaker Helena Rein. Mm. Her previous films were Bodies, 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 which was kind of nicely fun, sort of horror satire.
Yeah.
Poked a bit of fun at American culture. And before that, Instinct, which was a story of an extremely inappropriate relationship between a prison psychologist and a sex offender who was incarcerated. And in Baby Girl, we've got Nicole Kidman, who's a high-powered CEO with the perfect life, and then this young intern walks in and
power play.
Shit gets real. And power play is exactly what this film is about. This is not a conventional romantic relationship. This is one, I'm not really sure if it is a dom-sub relationship, but it's about power, it's about control, it's about permission to give power and permission to be controlled.
Yeah.
And the actor that kept coming to mind as I watched it, I was thinking, like, oh, these are the sorts of things that used to kind of, like, air quotes here, just happen to Michael Douglas in erotic thrillers of the 90s. Like, he was just this guy, he's got this family, he's just trying to go about his business, and then he's got all these urges, and there's a young person, and stuff happens. and
it's
that's
not his fault.
Wow. Baby Girl is all over social media. You know, that's no coincidence. I've been using the glass of milk emoji quite a lot in the last couple of weeks. I'll leave you to find that one out for yourself, but it's, don't worry, it's not, that bit's not as gross as you might think it is.
But you have to watch who you watch it with, right?
You massively have to watch who you watch it with. Because before we see anything unfolding on screen, we're hearing Nicole Kidman very loudly sounding like she's having a very good time. So I think...
Take that as you will.
Like, the opening seconds will be like, oh no, I've made a terrible mistake.
Why did I bring my mother-in-law?
Why am I here with mum? Mum's on one side and mother-in-law's on the other. Yeah. Then there's the dads. There's dad and dad-in-law. What have I done? I saw it in a very, very empty theatre. I can't wait to watch this with a full house and just see how that New Zealand audience kind of reacts to some of this quite in-your-face sexuality. And
We're not very in-your-face here in New Zealand.
No, we are not. And, and I think film in general, particularly Hollywood film, embraces quite a kind of cougary narrative and certainly like the space for desire and sex in women over 40 is kind of forbidden territory for mainstream films.
So it's delving
in. Helena Rein sort of brings a lot of her personal experience to this project. I talked to her last week for Flix. We're running an interview with her next week.
Wow.
And yeah, some of the stuff that she brought up was quite interesting. Like she talked about the role that those sex thrillers of the 90s had played in her life, and as a teenager giving her permission to like accept some of her own feelings and her own kind of freaky side or whatever.
Right, right. Laid the groundwork.
And I think that there's Baby Girl's got the potential to do that. Like, cinema is not really the place as a culture where we can start, you know, see things that start conversations about things like desire, power, and control in relationships. Certainly not so much now, but this by God is a film that will do so.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. Some fantastic music cues in this film. Many people will probably have already seen Harris Dickinson dancing to George Michael's father figure on their social media. Elsewhere, there's a great In Excess sync. And I stayed in the theatre as the lights came up because Sky Ferreira's song Leash, which was recorded for the film, sounds awesome.
Really? You know, the through big a, movie speakers.
Through a cinema PA. Yeah. And also, it was just kind of a bit like rocked back by this film. Because it's so female-centric, it just has a really different tone to those films from the 90s. Ambiguity is really important here.
Mm.
Really looking at events through Kidman's perspective is really important here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really real goodie.
Now, would you say, you know, obviously compared to the films in the 90s, predominantly done by men, and this one's done... Is it the director's a woman? Yeah.
Female writer-director.
So obviously that adds a, you know, different tone, like you say, to the movie. It must be, I guess, you know, in these sort of times and the Me Too and movement kind of thing, does that sort of like seep in? It's not like a sort of preachy type film where it's saying, you know, like, you know, this happens to women or men need to sort of... I don't even know what I'm saying, but
yes. there is an ambiguity to it. Those workplace dynamics, the post Me Too era, the sort of workplace ethics around abuse of power factor into the narrative.
Yes,
it does make it it's a forbidden relationship, which you know adds a certain frisson to it. But also there's a set of consequences attached to it.
Yeah.
So they will play their part in the narrative. But yeah, I think as much as anything else, this is a very kind of coherent story that audiences will reach kind of different conclusions about what parts of the film resonated for them, or even sort of maybe right down to the things like what some of the characters' motivations might have been.
Yeah,
really, really good watch. It's going to inspire a lot of conversation. It's already inspired a lot of frothing enthusiasm with people asking me when it's coming out.
I bet.
And I can very happily tell you that it is in general release next week.
Fantastic.
There's an advanced screening at the Capitol.
Hollywood,
Capitol's got one on Sunday night.
Yep.
And the Hollywood is next week. I'm just going to double check when that is.
Is that potentially a Thursday, mate. I think
I want to say it's Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
Double check that that's
Tuesday,
that
Thursday.
Go. Da, 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 da. Steve reads his phone. Steve. On the radio. It's all happening here.
But it's happening. So the Academy this Sunday and Hollywood.
Capitol this Sunday.
Oh, sorry. Capitol this Sunday and Hollywood potentially next week sometime. Tuesday or Thursday, very similar days in my book.
Yeah, so Thursday is the general release. It's Sunday at Capitol, and you know what? Split the difference. It's Wednesday night
at
Hollywood Avondale and also Rialto in Newmarket.
Uh-huh.
I reckon that Hollywood one will be a really fun fun crowd to see it with.
Wow! Right after the show next week, you know, we'll head straight there. Fantastic.
Good stuff. it might be a bit of an unfair comparison because he's, so kind of delightfully / grossly creepy, but I did also think a lot about fellow Dutch director Paul Verhoeven watching this, and this bringing this kind of both a European sensibility and kind of sense of happily poking fun at American society while sort of showing them the things that they are most uncomfortable about. This is kind of in this film, you know, women aren't supposed to behave like this or think like this or do these things. And it's a really nice reminder that those conventional Hollywood narratives aren't the whole picture.
No, there's a lot more stories out there to tell, indeed. We got a texter here asking if you've seen Nosferatu yet.
No, I haven't seen Nosferatu.
Yeah, I haven't seen Nosferatu yet. Do you plan, or you're sort of like, oh, maybe?
Might be doing the Nosferatu Wolfman double feature this weekend, back to back.
Okay. Well,
cover off all them, all the spookies.
Yeah, all the spookies in one go. Fantastic. Great. Thanks for that, Steve.
I was going to talk about Severance, but let's let everyone see the first episode, which came out on Friday, and maybe this week's two, and talk about it. Talk about episodes one and two next week.
Hell yeah.
It's on Apple TV. It's back after a few years.
Yeah.
Feels like a very, very long time between drinks with the show. But we'll address that more thoroughly next week.
Fantastic.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.